North Rock Podcast.
How's everybody doing this morning? We're good? Hey, how many of you guys like me are appreciative of Pastor Tom and Pastor Andrew? Sometimes when I get up here, though I gotta admit it feels like I'm getting ready to preach the third sermon of the day, right? That's what happens when you have deep teaching theologians that help us with some of our other service duties. So again, welcome. We are so glad you're here at North Rock. As has been said a couple of times, we are in the second week of a series that we're calling The Royal, living as a royal family. And I love the way that Tom framed that for us this morning, that we all can suffer at times from kind of a short-term memory loss, right? That there are all kinds of the signals and indicators in this world that try to get us to forget that our identity is forged and formed in Jesus Christ alone, right? Last week we talked about that. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 says that we have been adopted into God's family because of what Christ Jesus did in our lives so that we can be heirs of His glory, right? That's what Romans chapter 8 teaches us. And so today we are going to be adding to that topic, to that conversation, which was last week really forged and formed in that idea that we won't live differently until we learn to see ourselves differently. You guys agree with that? That just the way Pastor Tom illustrated with the Emancipation Proclamation and the freedom that was purchased, right? That it's the same thing in our spiritual lives. That if we continue to see ourselves as paupers and not princes, then we won't live the way that God designed for us to live in this world. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm already preaching. Let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to dive into God's Word today. Father, we thank You that You have done everything necessary in us to live life in Your victory. Lord, we thank You that as we talked about last week, that You provide Your presence, Your power, Your purpose, and Your promises over our lives. And Lord, we want to be a people who not only live out the life that You've given us as individuals, but Lord, as Your family, as representation, and as King's kids in this world. Lord, open our eyes, open our spirits to hear Your Word today, that we would leave this place transformed by the power of Your Word and by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So, a couple of things happen in that adoption that we talked about from Ephesians chapter 5. First is that our identity changes, right? It's no longer our past failures, our hurts, our hang-ups, the challenges that we have in our lives, but our identity becomes His identity, right? That we become part of the royal family. And so today what I'd like to talk to you about is how it is that as we live out life as the family of God in this world, we begin to take on some of the characteristics of our Father. Right? Do you guys agree that it would be plausible, that it makes sense, that if we were adopted from an earthly family into God's spiritual family, that some of who He is, His attributes, should naturally rub off on us a little bit, right? I mean, that's the natural order of things, and that's what we're talking about today, is that God not only gives us a new identity, He places us in His family so that we would be in relationship with Him, and as we walk that relationship out more and more and more, we begin to take on some of the steps that the Father gives us, right? Guys have probably seen a picture or have an experience in your life where maybe a kid's walking around in their daddy's shoes, right? Little kid just trying to learn how to walk, got these big size 12s on, kind of clunking around, right? That's sometimes what it feels like when we're grafted into God's body, is that the behaviors that are associated with the royal family of God take some practice. It takes some practice. Just like good music, right? I mean, you guys know that our worship team couldn't just show up 2 minutes before service and go, I mean, Sean was getting with it today, wasn't he? I mean, there's one point he's working that keyboard and he just leaned back. So I don't know if that's leverage, but I'm just telling you, that's not a novice move right there, whatever that was, right? I don't know what that was, but it was good, man. It was good. Okay. And a lot of you guys know that I coach high school football, and sometimes our kids don't like the fact that we do everyday drills. We do kind of the scales of the game, right? Because if we can't figure those things out, then we have a really hard time putting it all together in life. You know, when it comes to this idea of adoption, this identity that's forged in Christ, that God knows we need reps. God knows we need our scales. God knows that we need a place that's safe enough for us to really practice out living the life that He has entrusted to us, right? So we know, because of what we learned last week, that it's God through us that lives out this new life, that everything that we need to happen for us to live in His power and His purposes in our life is released in that adoption. How many of you guys today would say, I am adopted into the family of God. I know that Jesus has done what I need Him to do in my life, right? It's good. It's good because if we don't get that peace, then we'll continue to just walk around maybe carrying some things that God never intended us to really carry around. But we understand this concept of family resemblance, don't we? We've all had those moments where you see somebody who's related to somebody in other relationships and say, oh, she looks just like her mama. Or worse yet, she looks like her daddy. Right? Or, oh, he acts just like his daddy. We say things like, they remind me of your brother. Right? Or when she laughs, it sounds so much like Aunt Susie. Right? Or the baby, it definitely has the family eyes. You know, in my family, you know, our kids have, fortunately in some senses and unfortunately in some senses, gotten some of the attributes of their parents. So my oldest daughter, Cameron, inherited her daddy's legs. Okay? It's not funny. What's funny about that? Yeah. So some of those traits are passed down genetically, right? There's a DNA pattern that you just go, wow, that's so weird. It's like my legs on my daughter, right? So hopefully, you know, hopefully that won't be an issue later in life for us. But it's not just the physical appearance, it's not just the DNA that's passed down, is it? You know, my youngest daughter, Caitlin, you know, the moment that she was born into this world, you know, she comes out crying, kicking, screaming, you know how it works. The nurses grab her, take her over, start cleaning her off. And I walk over immediately and I look in her eyes and I pick her up. And you know how you can just kind of see things in your kids sometimes? And I went straight from locking eyes with hers to locking eyes with Jody and said, uh-oh. She got my competitive nature. We got our little spicy peppers, what I told my wife. And Cameron lives up to it, or Caitlin lives up to it, and beyond. So she's a little firecracker. And is, you know, really going to take on some things in this world, and already, you know, takes on her parents. So you know, again, those are some of the things that we recognize that they're just passed on through that fatherly and motherly relationship, through the DNA of our physical bodies, right, and the temperaments of the parents, but also some of the features of our household environment, right? That we pass those things on as we live out as a family. Well, for the followers of Jesus, God has always intended from day one to live out a life through His family here on earth. You can go all the way back to Father Abraham, right? That God has always used the idea of a family and the idea of spiritual family to pass on His image into this world. And as we read last week, the purpose of that is that we would live in a way that brings praise and glory to who He is in the midst of our daily lives, so that others would see His image and say, I want in the family. I want to be a part of whatever is happening in their lives. See, as king's kids, we have that privilege and we have that responsibility, don't we? That just like we talked about the idea last week, that when it comes down to kind of our image and our identity issues, that if we remove the royal baby that was just born into Buckingham Palace, right, from that environment, and somebody convinced that child that they were no longer part of that royal family, they probably wouldn't live very much like that, right? But for us, that identity is secure in Christ, that as King's kids, we are to carry the DNA pattern, the characteristics, and the promises of God in our lives. Amen? That those things have been released, they've been given to us. And so the question that we're talking about today is simply this: how is it that we can lean into this transformational process that God has in our lives? How is it that we can more and more and more begin to reflect back and live out through the power of the Holy Spirit this new look as being a royal in God's kingdom? I mean, when I become a royal, does it mean that I'm gonna get like this ruddy complexion and I'm gonna start preaching in a British accent? I'd kind of like to try that sometimes. I mean, if anybody with an accent, I can listen to for hours. You know, it's just like they don't even have to say anything interesting. It's just like, wow, what a cool accent, right? No, but the characteristics that God wants to exhibit in our lives are clear. They're lined out, and that's what Ephesians is kind of addressing for us here. That one, he gives us a new identity, and two, he calls us into a family for the purposes of us living out that expression in this world, but also that we would find a place to work out this salvation that he's given us, right? So Paul's letter to the Ephesians offers us some insights along the way as we wrestle with this morning. How do we prayerfully contend? And what should we prayerfully be contending for from our Father, an all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving God, right? So if you have your Bible, I want you to open up to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. And I'm going to read this pretty quickly. But again, I think that this section of Ephesians gives us an idea of just what kind of family we've been born into, right? That we should begin to reflect more and more in our lives. We get to. So Paul writes in verse 18, he says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called. Those that he called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Verse 19 says, and I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Verse 21 says, now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body, and it's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Okay? Guys, pick up any of the family traits from that section of Scripture. You guys get some of that? That our hearts would be flooded with light, that we would live with a confident hope, that we would recognize that same power that raised Christ from the dead, that's big-time power, right? It's big-time power. Lives and is resident in us, and that God has placed Christ as the head over his body and given him authority over all things for the benefit of what? For the benefit of his church, right? So again, a couple of things that we're going to look at today is one, we are people of a new identity, that we're no longer anonymous people in this world, but that we've been called into a tribe, we've been called into a family, we've been called to reflect the royal DNA pattern in this world. Romans chapter 8, verse 17, I alluded to this a little bit earlier, says, that since we are his children, right, we're a child of God, and that's our new identity, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are the heirs of God's glory. But if we're to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering, right? You know, I can't think of a more appropriate verse for this idea of being called into a community or a family of faith. That without taking risks with one another, it's really hard sometimes to practice some of these new behaviors, these new ways of living that Christ outlines for us in the Word, right? I mean, it'd be one thing if God just said, I changed your identity, go on your merry way, have fun. And no, he doesn't. He calls us the same way Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business, right? He calls us into the family business, and that is being his witness, his identity, his namesake in this world, right? That's the privilege, that's what we get to carry, that's the crest of someone who is a follower of Christ. And I wanted to take just a minute to honor my friend Tom Edwards here by reading a little excerpt out of one of the books that he's written. And as I read it, I'm going to do it my best Tom Edwards style. So it always has to start with the old finger wag. Okay? That's how he knows he has your attention. Okay? But Tom Edwards wrote, says, now this is the positive reality of the church. It's not something that we must wait for or long for in the great by and by. It's to be taken seriously in faith, thought, and action. That we live out only, we live this out only as we live in faith. We are a new race of people in Christ. Jesus is the beginning of the race, and all who believe are born into being like Him. Right? That's that idea, that transfer of identity into our lives. So he goes on to make the points that we are not what we do for a living. Right? That's not seeing ourselves correctly. We're not, it's not about how many children we have or we don't have. That's not our identity. It's not about where we go to church. It's not about what kind of car we drive or what house we live in. It's not about our national or ethnic origins, right? It's not about our hurts, hang-ups, and habits anymore, right? That our past and our present sins are not our identity, but our identity is this: your sons and daughters of the Most High God. Sons and children of God. You're heirs with Christ. You're members of the body of Christ. You're partakers of the divine nature. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing, a new race of people like Christ, and a new type of humanity that no longer has its identity in our fallenness or in our fallen state. Amen? That is who we are. And until we settle that issue of identity, it's really hard for us to take risks with others, right? How many of you guys know that Christianity was never meant to be an individualistic sport, right? That He calls us to do life together for both the benefit and the balance that comes into our lives when we lean into His family. And I can tell you this, that God so loved us that He gave us His only Son to transfer the title of our identity so that we could live out an expression of love that's so powerful that people take notice of it in this world. So by allowing our identity to be shaped by our adoption and salvation above all the things that we just listed, right? Above any sense of other value that we get, influence, relationship, or affiliation, our core context is that we have the identity of Christ in us, that we will then bear the family name and reflect and resemble who He is in this world, right? That God's plan was Christ would be the head, but that we would be the members of His body, and that we would go out and we would live out the things that He wants to accomplish in this world, right? So it's not about us being privileged in His royal kingdom for our sake, but for the sake of an onlooking world. But today what I wanted to just point out a couple of things before we talk about next week, how He lives that out through us. I wanted to take just a few moments and talk about how He bears His image in us and how He does it among us as His church, okay? So, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24 teaches us simply this point, that we can't be transformed into all that Christ would have for us. We can't bear all of His image without some of that practice. How many of you guys have figured out some point along the way that it doesn't just happen by osmosis, right? That I just think about it and all of a sudden I'm living in a way that really is like God a bunch, right? That it's not just a thought, it's when it moves from a thought to our heart to our hands. That's when we begin to see that transformation in our lives. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. 24 says, you were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is corrupted, being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new. Everybody say, made new. In the attitude of your minds. You guys catch that? I love that says that, because that's exactly what we're talking about with this identity piece. If we don't see ourselves in the new attitude of our minds, then we're more prone to live in our former ways, right? And then verse 24, he goes on to say, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That is our identity, and that is what we strive to be in this world, okay? So that's the identity piece. It's taken almost 2 weeks to set it up. But how many of you guys, as I would confess to you, would confess to me that I don't always live that way? In fact, I've got to catch myself. I've got to put the new mindset on. I've got to catch those thoughts. I've got to catch those actions. I've got to catch that attitude before it you know, gets out. And I got to make it, transform it, submit it to the authority of Christ and His Word in my life in order to see a change, a difference, right? So Christianity is not just personal, it's relational. And His inheritance is released as we actively participate in the life of God's church. So how does this happen? Three ways that we can grow in godliness. Three ways that we can take on more and more and more of God's characteristics in our lives that are readily available because of our adoption through Christ. Number one, that we need to let our relationships be shaped by His vision and His mission in this world. That when we see the relationships in our lives through that lens, it's like the sponge effect. We take on more and more and more of who He is. But it takes us being willing to see relationships shaped by His Word, by His vision, and by the mission. In other words, the new man or woman is no longer living in isolation, just trying to get by in this world. But rather, we have been called to have an impact on the society that we live in with believers and non-believers. So why is that? One point I've made several times already this morning is simply that it's a witness, right? It's a witness to an onlooking world. But William Barclay suggests that it's even more than that. He says that because of a well-developed Christian worldview, that it believes that we live in a God-created, a God-controlled, a God-sustained, and a God-filled world. In other words, our worldview is different because we recognize relationships as God would intend us to see people in those relationships. And the second thing that we can do to take on, to really actively participate and partner with God's transformation in our lives is to let actions be shaped by His vision and by His mission. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says this, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another." Encourage one another, especially now that His day of return is drawing near. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says it this way, "Love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor." How many of you guys know when we practice those behaviors, we're reflecting the heart of our Father. We're reflecting the love of Christ. We're living out the value system that He has given us. And we can't do that in isolation. So the third point is simply this. If we're going to really live out this life in the family of God as a royal, we've got to allow our sense of connection to be shaped by His vision and His mission in our life. Can I just say this? I can't be everything that God's asked me to be without you. And I would suggest that we can't become everything that God wants for our lives without one another, right? That was the whole idea of Him grafting us into His body. And I can tell you this, I know that connecting and doing life with other people can be scary at times. And I can also take it a step further, with a big pastor smile on my face, promise you that if you do life with the people of God, you will be hurt. But you will also be healed. And you'll also be shaped more and more and more into the glory of carrying God's purposes, His plans, and His attributes in our lives. And to me, that's the deal. That's what it's all about. So, Apostle Paul illustrates the importance of us living in a royal family in his words to this Ephesians church. I think we've all grabbed a few of the family distinctives, right? From the verses we've read, but Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, kind of ties it all together for me. And when I think of what he's trying to do in a community of faith, what he's trying to do through the body of Christ, it's this. And it's Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, he says this, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Again, do you guys see the transfer of title in his mind? Do you see that he recognized I'm an adopted son, right? It's no longer my life who lives, but it's his life through me. And in verse 2, he says, always be humble and gentle. You know, I love humble and gentle part. Always? I mean, come on, really? Always be humble and gentle? Can I get one of our theologians to help me with this always thing? Yeah, that's what I thought. It means always, right? Good. I like it. Okay. And he goes on to say, be patient with each other. Be patient with each other. Making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. Love that. Binding ourselves together with peace. For there's one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. Because this is what I know. From over 20 years of experience in this congregation, it's this, that where there's unity in the Spirit, God commands blessing. And where there's humility and gentleness and patience and love, you will find peace. And we want to be a people of peace, right? We want to be a people of peace. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we close out our services here. And I would ask us, as is our tradition, our norm here at North Rock, that we don't just come to hear a preacher get all lathered up on stage and go, yeah, that was funny or weird or whatever, right? But rather, we want to be a people who more and more reflect God's glory in this world. So my question that I want us to wrestle with, the question I want us to ponder before the Lord as we sing this next song is simply this. What area of our lives does God want to reflect His glory in? What is it the Holy Spirit would say to you in this time of thinking about His humility, His gentleness, His patience, and His love that He has for us? Those are the attributes of God. Those are the characteristics of our Father. And those are the promises, the inheritance that we talked about in our lives. How many of you guys like me would say, Lord, I need more of all of the above? So let's call out to Him knowing that He brings the transformation. He brings the power. And all we have to do is agree with who He said we are. Amen? Let's sing this song to the Lord. Let's call out for His work in our lives. And then I'll come up and close us in prayer. But Father, we stand before You as Your sons and daughters, bought by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank You for the work that You're doing in our hearts and lives, even as we speak. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Chad, I'm encouraged this morning because I don't see myself as a royal sometimes. I'm encouraged this morning because the Word of God is reminding me that I've got an inheritance through Him. That I've got a purpose in this world, that it's His power that transforms my life and brings health and wholeness into our families. If that's you here today, would you just raise your eyes, look up at me, just as a confirmation, as a way of saying, yeah, definitely, God's speaking to me in that. Yeah, I see a whole bunch of us. And again, maybe you're here today for the very first time, or you're in a place in your life right now that this is the first time you've ever really heard it said that God loves you, and it made Him happy to adopt you into His family through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. If that's you here today, we'd like to ask you just to raise up your hand nice and high, loud and proud. I promise to never embarrass you or to point you out in this group, but we think it's a very important part of your relationship and your walk with Christ is to acknowledge that, yes, He's done everything that I need in me, for me, to have relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I'm acknowledging that today I'm making that decision. Is there anybody here today that would say I'm ready to take that step in my journey with Jesus? Yeah. The Bible tells us that if we can confess with our mouth, believe with our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God raised Him from the dead and gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are saved, right? And so I know we've got a whole bunch of church folk in here today. Whole bunch of people that are living out these promises. And so this would be my encouragement. It's simply this. Lean into the family of God. find the place in His body that He's designed just for you. How many of you guys know that with any part of the body missing, we'd limp around pretty good, wouldn't we? Same thing is true about our family of God. So when we talk about these things in church, like connect groups, connect classes, connect team opportunities, those are places for us to connect with one another, to go on mission for the purposes of seeing God's identity released in this world. Amen. So again, don't be alone on the journey with Christ. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for this word. We thank You for this church. Lord, help us to be the church, not to simply attend a church. Help us to live Your life through us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.